The country way wasn't crowded. It never is these days, not even on Friday and Saturday nights. The restaurants out by Walmart and the new Statler Mall are killing the downtown eateries just as surely as the new Cineplex out on 32 killed off the old Gem Theater downtown. As always, people glanced at me when I walked in. Only it's the uniform they're really looking at, of course. A couple of guys, one a deputy sheriff, the other a county attorney, said hello and shook my hand. The attorney asked if I wouldn't join him and his wife, and I said, no thanks, I might be meeting someone. The idea of being with people, of having to do any more talking that night, even small talking, made me feel sick in my stomach. I sat in one of those little booths in the back of the main room, and Cynthia Garris came over to take my order. She was a pretty blonde thing with big, beautiful eyes. I'd noticed her making someone a sundae when I came in, and was touched to see that between delivering the ice cream and bringing me a menu, she'd undone the top button of her uniform so that the little silver heart she wore at the base of her throat showed. I didn't know if that was for me or just another response to the uniform. I hoped it was for me. "Hey, Sandy, where you been lately? Olive Garden? Outback? Macaroni Grill? One of those?" She sniffed with mock disdain. "Nope, just been eating in. What you got on special?" "Chicken and gravy, stuffed shells with meat sauce, both of them a little heavy on a night like this, in my humble opinion, and fried haddock. All you can eat's a dollar more. You know the deal." "Think I'll just have a cheeseburger and an Iron City to wash it down with." She jotted on her pad, then gave me a real stare.
"Are you all right? You look tired."
"I am tired. Otherwise, fine. Seen anyone from Troop D tonight?"
"George Stankowski was in earlier. Otherwise, you're it, darling. Cop-wise, I mean. Well, those guys out there, but..."
She shrugged as if to say those guys weren't real cops. As it happened, I agreed with her. "Well, if the robbers come in, I'll stop them single-handed."
"If they tip 15%, hero, let them rob," she said. "I'll get your beer."
Off she went, pert little tail switching under white nylon. Pete Quinlan, the Grease Pit's original owner, was long gone, but the mini jukeboxes he installed were still on the walls of the booths. The selections were in a kind of display book, and there were little chrome levers on top to turn the pages. These antique gadgets no longer worked, but it was hard to resist twiddling the levers, turning the pages, and reading the songs on the little pink labels. About half of them were by Pete's beloved chairman of the board, hepcat finger-snappers like Witchcraft and Luck Be a Lady Tonight. "Frank Sinatra," said the little pink labels, and beneath, in smaller letters, "The Nelson Riddle Orchestra." The others were those old rock and roll songs you never think about anymore once they leave the charts. The ones they never seem to play on the oldies stations, although you'd think there'd be room. After all, how many times can you listen to "Brandy, You're a Fine Girl" before beginning to scream? I flipped through the jukebox pages, looking at tunes a dropped quarter would no longer call forth. Time marches on. If you're quiet, you can hear its shuffling, rueful tread.
"If anyone asks about the Buick 8, just tell them it's an impound."
That's what the old Sarge had said on the night we met out here in the back room. By then the waitresses had been sent away and we were pulling our own beers, running our own tab, keeping our account straight down to the very last penny. Honor system. And why not? We were honorable men, doing our duty as we saw it. Still are. We're the Pennsylvania State Police, you see. The real road warriors. As Eddie used to say when he was younger as well as thinner, it's not just a job, it's a fucking adventure.